Open Run with BTG off season. Off season. We back, man. Off season. Look, I got some questions that I seen online that I want to get to. I think you're going to like it. You know how those memes be. I got two of them, right? And then I'm going to get to my NCAA run. Oh, it's so phenomenal. Arkansas State, shout out. Respect my coaching. So, let's get to it. Two gotta go. Murph, if you listening to this, 12 Cal, if you listening to this, King Germ, if you listening to this, Dolomite, if you listening to this, two gotta go. Head coaches edition, NBA. Two gotta go. Know the rules. I gotta pick two coaches that gotta get out of here forever. The four coaches is Greg Popovich, Steve Kerr, Doc Rivers, and Eric Spoelstra. I'm going to tell you right now, this is, to me, a no-brainer. I think 99% of people, basketball heads, really, I don't want to just say casuals, would agree with me if I said this. Greg Popovich is not going anywhere. You know, that's creme de la creme. He is up there with some of the best, some of the finest. In some cases, some people have him as the best. I wouldn't go that far. I got to sit down, but he is probably the most lovable coach of all time. You know what I mean? I would give Greg Popovich, with all due respect, top three all time. Top three all time. I probably should have played it safe and go top five, but nah. Too much respect goes to Greg Popovich. Top three of all time. Greg Popovich is not going anywhere, right? And he's probably had the same job longer than a lot of you motherfuckers was born. Next, Steve Kerr. We seen his run. Magical run, phenomenal historical run with Golden State. We've seen how he changed the landscape. We've seen how he changed the culture in the Bay Area with the Splash Brothers. He was managed to tame. Damn, why I can't think of his name right now? That's crazy. I cannot think of his name right now. When I tell you the 40s is really Draymond Green. Jesus Christ, what's going on, Baylor? He managed to tame Draymond Green early on. I wouldn't say most of his career, because Draymond Green has always been Draymond Green since Michigan State, right? But he managed to put it together because they was able to win a lot. You know, at one point, like, nigga was damn near almost a full Golden State All-Star team on an All-Star roster. You know what I mean? So Steve Kerr did a lot of something. Some people are still upset that Steve Kerr took this roster kind of like the whole Tony Dungy, Gruden thing, you know what I mean? Like, Mark Jackson put this roster together from the scratch, you know what I mean? But, you know, at that particular time, he couldn't get Golden State over the hump. And to bring Golden State back to being relevant is one thing, but to make them dominant and turn them into a dynasty, I mean, that you can't overlook that for Kerr's career. But I'm sorry, that's the first one I gotta go. So that just leaves the last two. Doc Rivers. He's the only black man on this list. And guess what? Race doesn't even mean, it's not even a factor in this decision. He gotta go. He has blown the most leads in a playoff series out of anybody I've ever known. You know, I think he had that locker room. He had that locker room at one point. And what I say, not, and I'm not talking to any locker room in particular. I'm just talking about in general. He had the locker room. You know, players respected him at one point, but now I just feel like, and it seems like Doc Rivers just gets denied for everything, you know, because I guess we going off of what he did with Boston, but to me, it's just not enough, man. It's really not enough. So that just leaves Eric Spoelstra will be staying. You want to know why? Because you want to talk about getting it out of the mud. That's a whole totally different respect. We never heard him in any type of, and again, it's not even about what they do off the court. I don't want to bring that into it, but it's like where he is in Miami. I mean, you know, it's Miami, you know. But to now, again, he inherited a team that you got to win with, and it's very difficult to lose with them at that particular time. You know, when we talk about Bron and Wade being on the same team, let's not forget about Chris Bosh and the supporting cast. Haslam was a monster around that time. I mean, you can't really brush over the Chalmers thing, and you know what I'm saying? It's whatever, but they had some supporting, they had a supporting cast that was solid, you know. Definitely would have taken those supporting players in today's game. But you can't lose with those Hall of Famers in your team at that age. You know, that particular version of Bron and Wade. But he maintained the Heat culture throughout that and got them back to the finals. Got the motherfuckers back to the finals with Jimmy Butler. More just consistent. You know what I mean? It's up and down, but I mean, to get them back to the finals? I mean, twice. He's gotten them back to the finals, you know? So, I mean, I gotta go with Eric Spoelstra and Popovich, you know, one of the winningest coaches of all time. Now, we do have another one. And this one is a little bit on the fun side. You know, I think y'all enjoy this one because this covers multiple sports, you know, basketball, football, a little bit of baseball, maybe some boxing included. But these are sports analysts, right? The ones that we see on ESPN, Fox, you know what I'm saying? The whole nine, we see the clips floating around. Are we watching them in the morning? Are we watching them after the game? You're watching their personal brand page, whatever the case may be. But in this particular one, we have to silence. Hear me when I say this, King Jerm. We have to silence three mics forever. I'm going to run through the names, and you have to pick. I have to pick three out of the nine that we absolutely do not want to hear from forever. Number one, Shannon Sharp. After that, we got Colin Cowherd. We got Nick Wright, Kendrick Perkins, Stephen A. Smith. Y'all all know him. Jason Whitlock, Joe Buck, Max Kellerman, and Chris Collinsworth. Whoo! This is a cold list. I'm surprised Skip didn't make this one. But let's roll with what we got with these nine. Silence three mics forever. First one, I'm going to have to go with, which might be the obvious. I'm going to go with Jason Whitlock. Jason Whitlock has shown us in the past that he likes to stir up controversy amongst the black community. He doesn't hold anything back. He's very blunt. He's very sarcastic. And it comes off as if he got picked on in school and now he has a microphone where he can say something. Right? Clearly, he doesn't care about you niggas' feelings like that. So Jason Whitlock is definitely the first one that's out of here. The next one, Kendrick Perkins, gotta go. That nigga has to go, bro. I'm sorry. Like, he had his moments, but when you are on a national stage, you can't say niggas' names. You can't pronounce certain words. And it's just, Everybody has I don't want to say that. I don't want to say it. I say it in this way. Everybody has a level of being biased. And I actually respect people who just dive into being biased, whatever it's towards, because it just shows the level of passion and love that you have towards that particular subject, sports, player, athlete, actor, whatever the case may be. Show you, as long as you know what you're talking about, and from time to time be objective, but yo, still show that your bias side is still there, right? Kendrick Perkins goes beyond that. And his tweets is even more horrific. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, but it's all entertainment. And to me, sometimes it seems like they put that nigga on TV just to make fun of him. That's how bad he is at times. And then he has some great points. You know what I mean? Like, I know. And here's the thing. I thought Kendrick Perkins was one of the key pieces for that Boston team. And a lot of players have come out and said, you know, on the court, he was a mean guy. He had a mean look, but off the court, he was a teddy bear. And it seems like now that, and it's not just him. Everybody has a voice now. And that ignorant side just comes out a little bit more when it comes to Kendrick Perkins or whatever. And then sometimes it just feels like the nigga doesn't know what he's talking about. So that's my two thus far. We got the final one coming up. So Kendrick Perkins, get the fuck up out of here. Jason Whitlock, get the hell up out of here. Now here's the last one. It's going to come down between Nick Wright and Chris Collinsworth. And I'm going to tell you why before I get to those two. Stephen A. Smith, I actually don't agree with him most of the time. And for him, he's good at what he does. I don't think he's as good as people make him out to be. They like to use the money thing where they say he's worth that and stuff like that. He's deserved the money because he's entertaining and such and such. But I don't give niggas points for ruffling feathers when you don't have to. But in the industry that pushes you to do that, I feel like he doesn't have to get pushed by the industry to do that. When he got butt hurt because T.O. said Max Kellerman is more black than he is, that hurt his feelings because it comes off like that. You know what I mean? And it was kind of like the whole Drake K-Dot thing where it's like, I'm what the culture feeling. And sometimes the culture don't be, most of the time the culture don't be fucking with Stephen A. You know what I mean? And I think at one point niggas got tired of him dragging KD, to the point where he had to go talk to KD's moms. That's how bad it was. We already know about it. And then same thing with Kyrie. Like, it's just a repetitive thing that he gets into it and he picks a player and he attacks. He did this shit with Westbrook too. He did it with a lot of different players where the nigga had to end up apologizing. So it's like you go this far to where you got to ruffle up feathers for content. You talk loud or whatever. Here's the thing. He knows his sport, but it still comes off as if you just read that shit. You know what I'm saying? But he has years in the game, so who am I to disrespect him? He's an OG. I can't say nothing about him because he put the years in. But that doesn't take away from the fact that the shit still sounds corny. His actions is still corny. But he's still here. He's still here. I fucks with Max Kellerman. Sometimes it seems like he drifts off when it comes to certain things, when it comes to like football and basketball at times. He's more passionate about basketball than he is about football. But I think where he really earns his money when he talks about boxing, and that's where Stephen A. couldn't keep up. He didn't bow down to Stephen A., and a lot of people believe that that's why he was removed from the show, because he, you know, had pushback. But then, you know, Stephen A. fired back and said it was all a chemistry thing. Yeah, all right, for sure. But Max Kellerman is like, he with us. You know what I'm saying? He's always been solid. I've been cool with, even if I have disagreed with him, like he's shown that his level of debating is top tier. You know, to me, cause he knows how to bring in the culture, talk about it in a certain way, whether we disagree or agree or whatever. He does it in a way where I can respect it. Shannon Sharp. Shannon Sharp he's changed a bit, but as far as the talking, he's actually changed the way he's actually approached certain things because of the bag. I mean, as a player, you couldn't stop that nigga from talking. That's who he was. So it's not like this is anything new, but now you can see The one thing I don't like about Shannon Sharpe these days is that he's chasing that high off of that Cat Williams interview. And it's a terrible look to me because you don't have to do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, let that be history. And then you just go ahead and go get the interviews. But it seems like he wants to amplify every single interview to see what he can get, to see if he can attack those numbers again. And that shit is just not going to happen again. It's not going to happen like that. I ain't gonna even say that's a once in a lifetime thing, but that's damn sure not about to strike twice in the same year. But he did strike gold with the Cat Williams interview, and he has done a solid job. You know what I mean? And he's built a brand. He's helped other people build a brand under him. He went toe to toe with Skip. He went toe to toe with Stephen A. So he's shown that he's proven. Sometimes he gets a little tangled up and tongue twisted or whatever, but you know, that's a flaw. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, I think he's been solid. He's good to go for the future. Colin Cowherd, OG. I've been listening to him for a while. Most of it wasn't on purpose. I mean, I ain't gonna lie. There was probably a small period of time where I was going to look at his content to see what he was talking about. I didn't change his channel when his segment popped up. And he has his interesting takes, but it does come off as a bitter divorced old man. That's how it comes off. You know what I mean? And I think he's even mentioned it before, something like that about, you know, his divorce and stuff like that. But the way he talks about people, the way he debates, it just comes off as if he was the bitter ex-husband. And he is getting paying alimony and shit like that. He comes off as that. Nick Wright, trash. It's nothing really. I mean, sometimes he has bars. Obviously, he knows his, he definitely knows his sports. But Nick Wright is trash. I'm not even, there's nothing really to go with. I never really cared for Nick Wright at all. Like, change the channel immediately. So that leaves Joe Buck and Chris Collinsworth. Joe Buck is an NFL sound. Like, I'm used to hearing Joe Buck's voice when it comes to football games. And Chris Collinsworth as well. And he always, Chris Collinsworth has that ad-lib voice that I'm so used to hearing. But here's where he loses me. And I get it. As a Raider fan, I know what y'all gonna say. You know, you think you know what it is. Nah, because a lot of people have said this about Collinsworth. It is the unnecessary meat riding when it comes to Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes. Now, this coming from a Raiders fan, I know how y'all could look at that, and I know how y'all thinking, but no. Go ahead and listen. You would think that them two niggas couldn't do no wrong. They would be able to get away with murder in front of that nigga, and he would overlook it. Now, that's one of his most platinum lines right there. When he says that, that nigga's about to go off. He's about to spit some bars. Now, here's a guy that, yeah, that's Chris Collinsworth. And he's gotten older, man. That's one cat that I've always gauged where the world is at based off of how he looked. I know that's weird, but again, I've been watching football for a long time. So I remember seeing him when he was younger, and he has aged so quickly. Like, he looks like one of those governors that looks like a corrupted governor. That's what he looks like. So this comes down between Joe Buck, Collinsworth, and Nick Wright. And I'm gonna go with Nick Wright. Cause I don't care for him. I don't care for him at all. So that's my three: Jason Whitlock, Kendrick Perkins, and Nick Wright. So that leaves Shannon Sharpe, Colin Cowherd, Stephen A. Smith, Joe Buck, Max Kellerman, and Chris Collinsworth. Now, here's a guy, Collinsworth. So, yeah, that's the three mics that I'm going to silence. That was fun. Now, let me get to it. NCAA 25. Actually, today, if I'm not mistaken, the game has been out for a week. The game has been, no, not a week. Well, I got it on the 15th. I got it, so it's been damn near almost 2 weeks. I'm tripping, man. It feels like, oh yeah, it's been out for, yeah, it's been out for 2 weeks. It's been out for 2 weeks. Well, for people who got it on that Friday, it's been out for a week and some change. So I started with Arkansas State. I made Marshawn Lynch as the head coach, kept the assistants that they gave me. Arkansas State is a one stars or was a one star school when I started with them. I went 9-3, lost to Michigan that season. I had two ranked games. I had two ranked, not ranked. Two ranked. I'm tripping. Two ranked games. Michigan was, I was, they were number one when I played them. I think they were number one when I played them. I think. Well, they were somewhere in the top five. I'll say that. Iowa State was ranked number 19. Let me tell you, when I came home, I was so, because I had Michigan like week three, if I'm not mistaken. I was so excited to play them, knowing damn well I had a slim chance of winning, but I wanted to be competitive. And I had just got the game, so it's still a lot of shit that I needed to work out. So I'm on the game. I play against Michigan. My game plan was to shut down a running back. And he ended up with like five, six times. Ran all over my ass, my nigga. Heisman game. But here's where I got optimistic. Remember, I'm a one-star school. I'm not getting coverage. I'm not getting no national games. None of that shit. I ended up playing against Iowa State, and I took them niggas into double overtime. Mind you, I'm on Heisman, and I'm in about three or four different NCAA 25 groups on Facebook. And everybody across the board has been saying the same thing. You know, Heisman is a little bit too difficult. It's a lot going on. I'm not, you know, a lot of people are playing on All-American. Some people have even said they've played on varsity. And not to toot my own horn or anything like that, because I had someone in the comments a little upset that I was playing Heisman, and I said, if it's not Heisman, it don't count. Then I got a thesis, all kind of shit, saying why. Basically, I shouldn't talk that way. That's basically what it said. Anyhow, I went 9-3 that season. I went 9-3. Made a bowl game. I played Middle Tennessee in the bowl. I forgot what the bowl was called, though. Some bullshit. Anyhow, I ended up winning that bowl game. Got bumped up to a two-star program. So I'm coming into my second season as a two-star program, Arkansas State. My key games were Arkansas, and I'm not sure if y'all seen Arkansas's quarterback. I got Arkansas State. This was the University of Arkansas. This nigga's like 6'6", 270. Prefers to throw the ball, but my God, when I tell you, he could throw, he could run, he breaking tackles. This thing is LeBron James on the field. We lost to Arkansas by 10 points. I think it was like 38-28. Then we had a Iowa State again, and they were ranked again, a little bit higher this time. I ended up beating them. Then I came across Baylor University. Now, at the time, Baylor wasn't ranked. Before the matchup, they was ranked. So they had to be like right outside the top 25, which kind of helped me, right? Because they could have got bumped back into the top 25 right before we played them, and then we knocked them out. So I beat them. I cruised through the. I ain't gonna say I cruised through the second season because I had some matchups that came close. I think there was one game that I only won by 3 points. We'll get to that in a no need to get to that one, but I almost lost that game. I only lost one game that season. I went 12-1. Season is not done completely. Why? Because I just finished beating Georgia Southern. It was either Georgia Southern or Georgia's. Yeah, it was Georgia Southern. It had to be. One of the Georgia, it wasn't Georgia, but we'll get to that in a minute. In the Sun Belt Conference Championship. I won that. I went 12-1, and now I got invited to the playoffs. Now, when I checked the playoff bracket, it has me at a number 2 seed. Now, I'm not sure if that was my number 2 ranking, because prior to me winning the conference championship, I was ranked, at one point, the highest I was ranked was number 4. Then I advanced to the next week and I got dropped back down to number 6. I'm not sure what happened in that time, but I ended up getting the second seed in the playoffs. To where I'm waiting. Well, it's no longer a wait. I'll be playing Georgia. Yeah, you heard me. I'll be playing Georgia in the second round of the playoffs. Am I scared? Absolutely. No, I'm not scared, nigga. I want to finish. I feel like I can go on a good run, but Michigan is in there. They got some good teams up in there. Look, I'm a 2-star program ranked in the top 5, right? I know talent-wise, I'm not really supposed to be there. Effort-wise, I'm there. But talent-wise, shit, we don't have a candle to a lot of those teams. And we struggle with some teams that doesn't even come close to them. The reason why I'm able to get off on Heisman and to go 12-1 or 9-3 is because most of those teams that I'm playing at were playing on the same level. When I played against Michigan, I got smacked. Iowa State, that's a different story because they not really that good, but they was ranked. Marshall, I played Marshall at the end of the second season. They gave me issues. Middle Tennessee gave me issues in a bowl game. So there was a lot of teams that were a 3-star, 2-star program that gave me some problems. You know what I'm saying? South Alabama gave me some issues. But I did end up with the best running back, with the best, one of the best linebackers, one of the best DBs. And I made it to the playoffs. You know what I mean? Obviously, I'm going to get a contract extension. I didn't know if you go and look at jobs offered to you, that it hurts your grading, because they're going to feel like, you know, you tiptoeing, you know, you trying to, you know, see what you got going over there. Hopefully you don't leave your youngins. And I'm not. I'm going to stay. I'm going to build that program up to a 5-star program. And then I might consider switching and bringing up another program, or just having, I think when I win a national championship, after that, I'm just going to produce crazy highlights and just post the highlights. You know what I'm saying? Because I've taken them one. Now, I can't start from an OC or a defensive coordinator position and really grind. But for right now, hey, man. I'm just going to enjoy my head coaching position at Arkansas State with Marshawn Lynch and pump out some of these Arkansas State highlights. And that's it, man. That's it for sports. The Olympics has started, so I might have to do a little bit of Olympic commentary a little bit. Snoop Dogg having a fucking ball. Jason Tatum did not play in the second game against who did they play? Siberia? I think so. But didn't get no playing time. And then Steve Kerr, that's why his ass got dropped out of that first list. He said he feels like an idiot on not playing Jason Tatum. I'm not sure how that works. We all know the drama with Jaylen Brown not being on that team. And that's just still weird. But a lot of people say it has something to do with Nike. There's no reason for him not to be on that team. You can't come up with a logical reason for him not to be on that team at all. Shout out. Shout out, man. Shout out to my boy Goaty. We have started the Ballers Union Dynasty League. I will be UCLA. I will be hosting UCLA as the head coach. We'll see how that goes. I'm not holding back on any of these niggas in it. We got 16 teams, four different conferences. So, yeah, shout out. I will see y'all next. Oh, the Olympics is back.